We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
There's like 15% of you that are just like, oh.
These nerds are at it again.
The nerds are at it again with this show.
Sports Talk Saturday.
Like, you have a deck of playing cards, and the Bills' hand was four Yu-Gi-Oh cards. That's what happened here. And they're not even good ones, like a Karibo.
It's like that you have the four pieces of Exodia, but like one of them's in your graveyard, so you really can't do anything with it.
It's time to
on WGR Sports Radio 550.
The nerds are at it again.
I'm so happy that the two opens that I'm a part of are this and the Skyrim one.
Oh, and the eating microphone.
That's less nerdy, but that is three nerds.
That was
three nerds.
Three dorks down.
That was the title of the show. Oh man, that was a great comment.
Exactly.
People love us. People love the nerds.
The nerds love us, and we love all of you. This is Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer back in the chair. TJ Luckman making a return. Evan's on the board. And did some stuff happen while we were gone? I think so.
There might be some minor housekeeping details.
We got ourselves a loaded show here today, people. Lots going on, because there is a lot going on. And this is kind of a tricks of the trade sort of thing, and something I just like to talk about just for fun. This is probably the easiest show I could ever plan. We have plenty of guests. We have our two bits that we need to do. So there it is. We've got Greg Thomsett, we've got Rachel Hotmire, and we've got Chris Ostrander that we're going to be talking to today. We've got Booty Cheek of the Week. We've got Mock Draft Simulator. We've got ourselves a show today. And if you want to try to squeeze in, 803-0550 is the number to call. You can always hit us up on Twitter. I'm at DerekKramer49, or you can tweet at the station at WGR550. TJ may want to be left alone or not.
Come at me at Steady Riot.
Let's have a day.
Thoughts. Yeah.
Let's have a dang day, baby. TJ's staring right at the wide receiver big board, by the way, that was constructed by Jeremy and Joe.
I was going to say a huge shout out to them for making this real easy for me. I don't have to bring up a website or anything and find out.
Yeah, all I have to do is turn my neck slightly to the right.
Like a permanent visual reminder of who we're dealing with here and what's at stake.
I got cookies from the main break room.
That's huge.
And they're still soft.
That's
so
big.
Yeah. Like the stale donut open was my fault. I didn't check the quality of the food before trying to eat it. And my stomach had the rumblies the entire day. These cookies are soft.
I'll be honest. I had one of those donuts, too, after you warned me. I was fine. There's nothing bad happened. So I don't know what my stomach's made of, but...
steel.
Yeah, apparently.
There you go. All right. Well, we got ourselves through our nonsense in our introduction here today. Because now it's time to go to the Western Hotline. We go to one of our frequents when it comes to guests, one of my favorite people to talk to. He's part of Cover One, and he does know some hockey, even though the hashtag's there at this point. It's Greg Thomsett of Cover One, here to talk some Bills and some draft.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing?
Greg, we're less than a week away from the NFL draft. It's reaching its fever pitch. I'm kind of done being on the wide receiver train. It's been moving too fast. I've got motion sickness at this point. I think it's going to be nice to finally get to the station and be able to get off.
Yeah, it's It's certainly time. We try to pace ourselves in the off season, and you know, in cover one, we'll go through like free agency, and you know, I don't start doing mock drafts, you know, in January and things like that. So I waited, and I'm still done with it. I'm still so ready for Thursday night to get here. I just want to find out who it's going to be, and then I'll dive in and learn all about that person. But the guessing, my brain is going to explode.
And that is part of it, the guesswork about all of this. I've shifted my philosophies even when it came to the wide receivers and the need of the position. I at first was like, okay, I'm team trade back. Go ahead and grab yourself some more picks. Try to then will yourself into the third round. And then when they traded Stephon Diggs, I kind of got a little more on the opposite side of, okay, what do I have to give? It could include my left arm in order to go grab Marvin Harrison Jr., Roma Dunza, or Malik Nabers. What's it going to take to get up there and grab one of those guys? Because I'm in on that conversation now. And everything in between. Greg, I'm going to ask for your preference and then what you think will happen when it comes to the Bills' ideology of getting a wide receiver in this draft.
So exact same space that you were in, and honestly, a really similar kind of thought process and arc, you know, of thinking. I can't deny, you know, you guys know me and anyone who follows me on Twitter, like I can't turn off the math part of my brain. I see the hit rates on doing things. I'm a big proponent of, you know, hey, don't pretend that taking, you know, one step closer to the dartboard is how to get a bullseye. I want more darts. Give me more darts to throw. That's how you hit a bullseye. And, that involves trading back. That involves being smart. That involves not having the hubris of, hey, I know which guy is going to be the guy, and I'm going to go up and get that one because I'm smarter than everybody else. There's so much data that tells us that's not true. Also, I really want to trade whatever it takes to go up and get one of these guys because I know which guy is going to be the one and that I want them on my team right now. And it's just impossible not to think that this exact same thing happens to Brandon Bean and, you know, Malik Boyd and Terrence Gray and like really smart people in that front office who do this for a living, because it's human nature. Like when you watch Marvin Harrison Jr., it's really easy to tell yourself there's no chance this guy busts. There's no chance. He's going to be good no matter what. There's no chance that this guy's going to bust. He is absolutely going to be the guy. And how do I tell someone that's wrong? It looks right. Like, that looks accurate. And, you know, yes, it would take a king's ransom. And if you look at, you know, all the trade value charts and historical reference, and honestly, it would take this year's first and second, next year's first and second, and maybe something else. And if you tell me that, hey, we got to give that up, well, that's crazy, but I'd also spend the next 3 days watching 72 hours straight of Marvin Harrison Jr. highlights and tell myself that, hey, this is great, we got this guy. And then on one side, you have people telling you that, oh, my God, you just gave up the entire future of the team. We're not going to have any more premium draft picks for going forward. And that's right. And that's, you need those cheap contracts. You need that, you know, rookie contract production. But what if those picks are – Kyer Elam and Cody Ford and Boogie Basham. Like, it's just, I can tell myself whatever I need to hear on both sides of it because there's a case to be made no matter how you do this. So, you know, it is a king's ransom. It is probably too much. And also, I'd get my head around it so quickly that it would be funny.
Greg Thompson, Cover One, joining us here on the Wester Hotline. Greg, when it comes to all of these possibilities, there are options no matter what. If you go up to if you try to get aggressive, there are the big three, Harrison, Adunze, and Nabers. If you sit at 28, there are players like A.D. Mitchell, Brian Thomas, maybe even fall that far, or he's probably more likely the middle of the first round kind of guy. But then there's Xavier Leggett, Ladd McConkey, Xavier Worthy, there, Troy Franklin. There's so many receivers that if they sit around 28 or in that area, that's an option. Or if they trade down, there are other players you could add to that mix, like Keon Coleman, or it just, the head's spinning. I don't know what to think anymore. There's even the possibility of double dipping, and it's just so many receivers that we've been looking at here. It's almost like playing whack-a-mole.
Well, I'll even add in another option because we already don't have enough to worry about. I think there's a very real, you know, I like to throw around the non-zero chance. I think it's even a little more than a non-zero chance that we see a trade for a veteran. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think that's crazy. And I think, obviously, everyone's mind goes to the two most public ones, which is Brandon Ayuk and T. Higgins. And, of course, those are the most exciting. There's a lot of salary cap and financial limitations to doing that that would make it very, very hard. However, they can make it happen if they want to. They would have to restructure and play with every single thing that's not bolted down, but they could make it happen if they wanted to. There's also some that are a notch down that are not going to be as exciting, but are probably more likely, where you talk about a Cortland Sutton out of Denver or a Tyler Lockett out of Seattle, where you could make some of that work for a lower draft capital and all of a sudden give yourself a little more flexibility. I think an Ayuk or a Higgins would be going into the draft. Those teams are going to want a premium pick. They're going to want it. They're going to want that first round pick. They're going to want pick 28 to get one of those guys. But what if the right guy falls? What if it's just an unbelievable value we can't turn down, and that, oh my gosh, we thought Dallas Turner was going to go top 10. How did he get to pick 28? We have to take him. He's a game-wrecking pass rusher. We'll take him there. And then all of a sudden you're taking a good receiver in the second round, but it's a Roman Wilson or a Ricky Pearsall. Well, all of a sudden Saturday morning we hear, hey, the Bills have reached a deal with Denver to acquire Cortland Sutton, or Seattle to acquire Tyler Lockett. And all of a sudden now you have a combination that can make sense. So I do think it's a lot of options to go through, and I do feel confident they're going to come away with, I genuinely think, more than one wide receiver. But that list is so broad, like you said, whether it's a huge trade up, a small trade up, sitting there. Heck, there's a pretty good argument that the depth of this wide receiver class is so strong that some teams might know, hey, we can get our guy in the second round. We don't need to reach in the first round. You might be able to trade down a little bit and still get a really good receiver and maybe get ourselves back into the third round. And, you know, there's just so many combinations, so many options. I need it to be here. I need it to be over with.
Greg, I think that is that's probably the most exciting thing about Thursday and throughout the entire weekend is going to be the fact that it will be done with. We don't have to speculate anymore. We have to just see what they do in return. Greg, when it comes to other options, though, within the first round that aren't wide receivers, some of your go-to guys, and TJ's looking at me like I accidentally read his mind.
Sure did.
So, TJ, I'll let you ask the question since I ended up telepathically on accident going and grabbing it.
That's okay, yeah. So heaven forbid that the wide receiver that the Bills want isn't available. What is another area that they might try to target with their pick? Ultimately, I think they'll try to trade back, but heaven forbid they don't go wide receiver here. What else are we looking at for what they're trying to pick in this draft?
So I usually look at it. There's always a combination of purely based on need, which I'll list off some things here in a moment. And then you do have to take into account the positional value and what's there, because, you know, hitting on a left tackle is more valuable than hitting on a guard. Hitting on a cornerback is more valuable than hitting on a safety. Hitting on a defensive tackle is more valuable than hitting on a linebacker. And those are analytically proven things because we see it in every contract. We know how teams value positions. That's not just some philosophical thing. We see it with their paychecks, and we see it with how teams spend in free agency. So when I look at the Bills lineup, there's a couple spots where I ask myself, I think being like every single year goes into it and obviously at least gives a passable option that we don't have gaping holes. And I think you can make a pretty good argument that we have a pretty gaping hole at outside starting receiver, especially after the Diggs trade. Most people thought we needed a receiver before the Diggs trade. So obviously we'll set that aside. That's a pretty clear, glaring one. But then you look at, you know, David Edwards went from a very nice, versatile backup who is our sixth lineman in jumbo to now has to start every game at left guard. You go to, hey, I like Mike Edwards and Taylor Rapp. Those are really nice, versatile pieces. are we ready for that to be our starting combo at safety? You look at, hey, I love Ed Oliver and Daquan Jones as our starting defensive tackles, but, you know, I don't know a ton about Austin Johnson and Deshaun Williams. And, you know, do we need another piece there to really impact quarterbacks? The same thing. We let Leonard Floyd go. So now that's expecting a lot from AJ Epenesa and whatever is left of Von Miller. So you look at those positions, and I try to figure out, so right now, if we lined up opening day was tomorrow, you would have David Edwards, Taylor Rapp, or Mike Edwards, whichever you want to choose, and AJ Epenesa in the starting lineup. Which one of those would have the most impact by upgrading? And, you know, I think you get into now a debate of, well, AJ Epenesa is probably the best player out of those three, but defensive end is the most valuable position. I think that we would benefit the most from upgrading interior offensive line, whether it's a guard directly for David Edwards or whether it's a center and Connor McGovern just stays at guard. I think that protecting Josh Allen and doing that makes a ton of sense. It's also one of the easiest positions to fill in the second, third, or fourth round. Look at Osiris Torrance last year and Spencer Brown the year before that. You then look at, hey, defensive tackle is really valuable, but it might be the spot that plays the fewest snaps out of those guys because obviously Ed Oliver and Daquan Jones are going to be there. So that's the kind of, you know, math that the front office is going to be weighing when they're stacking their board, when they're looking at making that decision on draft night in each of those premium rounds. I think that all those positions are the ones they're going to be targeting in the first, second, if we get back into the third or those two fourth round picks. Those first four or five picks that we make, that's what they're going to be weighing is, hey, who has a chance to come in and push somebody for a spot? Who is simply too valuable on the board to do it? Or who has the best position value long term that it doesn't really matter whether they get on the field or not? It's just too valuable of a spot not to take. And I think that's going to be that balance of interior offensive line, D end, D tackle, and safety. I think those are the four that are in play besides the obvious one at wide receiver. If I had to put my finger on it, I think that, you know, protecting Josh Allen, they saw the value of adding in an Osiris Torrance last year. I think they're okay with David Edwards, but his contract tells me that they're also okay if he's still a backup. I would think the sneaky one that people maybe don't have on their radar as much is they could take a center or an interior offensive lineman at either pick 28 or 60, and it would not shock me in the least.
Greg, of course, I would be remiss if I didn't ask this sort of question for you here. Who are your go-to prospects when it comes to names with pick 28, regardless of position, be it wide receiver or anything else on the what's Greg's big board looking like at pick 28?
So I've obviously plenty of the familiar names that people that you've rattled off, you know, I'm open to. I know there's some questions on A.D. Mitchell with obviously being a diabetic and some of the things where people question his route running or even his effort in his route running. I think Brian Thomas Jr. is a very exciting prospect. I don't know if I have him as definitively fourth as some people seem to, whereas I think he's just one of the guys in that second tier. And the reason I say that is, my fourth receiver is Xavier Leggett, and the guy out of South Carolina. I've seen some people have him as a, you know, late second round pick and things like that. I think he is an absolute freak athlete. He looks like AJ Brown when I watch him play, and I want a guy who can take a slant, a 6 yard, 7 yard slant, and take it 70 yards to the house while being 6'1" and change, 225 pounds. He's an awesome kick returner, which with the new rules, I think that's a valuable little addition that's, you know, a couple extra touches every game. So that's a name that I think is really exciting. There's another one, Jalen Polk. Every time that I watch Roma Dunze film, I see Jalen Polk making plays. When I watched the national championship and the semifinal game, it sure looked like Jalen Polk was the number one read on an awful lot of those plays. Which tells me who Michael Penix Jr. was trusting, and that I think he's fallen by the wayside and is a very, very good prospect and good player. So those are a couple at wide receiver. Obviously, you know, I don't know that we go defensive tackle, but Johnny Newton is an absolute stud. He's a guy that I would be really excited if they ended up adding. And then you get into the three interior offensive linemen. You know, Bills fans should get to know the names Graham Barton, Jackson Powers Johnson, you know, and Zach Frazier. I think that those, they would not be exciting. I think a lot of people would groan and would lose their minds if they take a center with that first pick. Those are guys who you could plug in and they would protect Josh Allen for the next decade. And, you know, I think Bills fans should maybe get to know those names a little bit more than they are right now.
Greg Thompson to cover one here on the West Her Hotline. Greg, finally, the last thing for you here, when it comes to the veteran wide receivers, and you mentioning the fact that, you know, they could be adding one of those and possibly combine it with a rookie wide receiver, who would be the one that you would target more than likely? I mean, you mentioned Cortland Sutton, T. Higgins, and Brandon Ayuk as your typical ones. And Tyler Lockett's the name that you kind of had my eyebrows raised when you brought that one up.
So that's the one that I would bring up simply because, and again, the math part of it and the financial part of it, I can't turn that part off. He has 1 year left at $4.6 million. It's really cheap. It's easy to add. I want multiple draft picks. I want investment at receiver. But, you know, now I already wanted that before Stephon Diggs left. I wanted that if we kept Gabe Davis. Now with those guys out, just having a consummate professional that gets open and catches the ball consistently, scores touchdowns consistently, someone who does that all the time and can do it cheap while we still invest at wide receiver, that's the kind of move that, you know, we wake up on Saturday morning, day three of the draft, and we find out, oh, the Buffalo Bills have traded one of their fifth-round picks to Seattle for wide receiver Tyler Lockett. That's not going to make a ton of headlines. It would have a huge impact on this season where you can now ease that rookie in, not have to have them, you know, be forced into some number one target spot. It can open up things deep. I just think that's the kind of prudent acquisition that doesn't cost a ton of draft picks, doesn't cost a ton financially, but would actually help the team a ton and would be a very, you know, John Brown, Emmanuel Sanders type addition that would open things up for the rest of the offense. That's kind of a Goldilocks, you know, just right fit for me. I'd be ecstatic if they go get a Brandon Ayuk or a T. Higgins. I don't know that they want to pay that draft capital. They can kind of get their cake and eat it too. If they still get their premium picks and add someone who impacts the team, that's where a Tyler Lockett makes sense for me.
Greg, we're going to have ourselves a busy weekend next week. You, me, yeah, TJ, all of us involved in this conversation.
Yeah, it's been a ton of work. Everyone has all done all their preparation. I'm excited for the WGR train, like everybody else. I think that there's some fun and exciting things coming. I needed to get here. I'm tired of guessing. I just want to know who it is so I can start the real analysis.
Well, here we are, Greg. We're a week away, and we'll be able to get into the nitty gritty of who will be Buffalo Bills instead of who might be Buffalo Bills. And we'll see what kind of analysis that all of us have from you guys at Cover One, from us here at WGR. Fans will be able to hear quite a lot here in the coming days.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. Always a pleasure.
Greg Thompson, Cover One on the West Her Hotline, as the Bills were a week away from all of it being wrapped up. And I'll tell you right now, I'm not kidding when I say this. The people that are going to be working the NFL draft are the same five people. I'm not kidding when I say that. For Thursday, for Friday, and for Saturday. TJ will be here with us on Thursday and Saturday. Evan will be here with us on Friday. And it's going to be Zach Jones, Nate Geary, and myself. That's it. So I hope you like us, because we're the ones that are getting you through your draft weekend. And I'm excited, and I know that that excitement is going to dull by the time we try to get to pick 248, which is like the seventh to last pick of the entire draft.
Your excitement is my "I need this to be over" portion.
I'm saying I'm
everything.
Excited because I have to talk a lot that weekend.
That's fair.
So I'm hyping myself up. I'm trying to get there so that, like, yeah, I want part of this to be over. Like, Greg said it, you said it. Like, it's a lot of speculation. But in that weekend, we're also going to be reactive. It's not going to be guesswork. It's going to be, oh, they did this. Or they did this. they took this guy. Like, it's going to be more of reactionary, and that part's going to be a lot better, I think, for us. Instead of having to guess, having to say our preferences, or I want them to trade up, I want them to trade back, I want them to sit right here. Like, it's playing whack-a-mole right now. And they're all just dodging because they're not real picks yet. You're just hitting the damn board with the hammer, and it's just, you're technically not hitting anything. That's what's going on right now. And a week from today, I'll be here in my usual chair at 11 o'clock for 1 hour of Sports Talk Saturday. Then the draft starts, and it's me with Geary and Zach, and we're taking you through for all seven rounds right here on the radio home of the Buffalo Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. When we come back, we could talk plenty more about Bills. We could talk draft, wide receiver big board that's staring me and TJ in the face. It's a lot taller in person. And
yeah, real life size.
Real life size.
I was surprised.
Yeah, like I was thinking it would be the size of the whiteboard over here, but no, it's a bigger sized whiteboard.
Yeah, they went all out for this.
Jeremy went out.
I'm impressed.
I love when Jeremy like has the passion of something because like he is always 100% on it.
Oh yeah.
And the wide receiver train, he's 100% on it. And I love his passion with things of ideas when he really wants there to be a case to be made. So, and here we are. We're staring at a wide receiver board with like vinyl stickers, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful. The Zubas pattern in the background. Also, the Sabres head coach search going on. NHL playoffs. Alex Morello is a joke. We go over a lot coming up here on Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, TJ Luckman, you're listening to WGR.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Definitely hard to part ways with a guy that's been very instrumental in our success here over the last 4 years. And again, I can't thank him enough for when he came in and how hard he worked and what he taught me along the years. And obviously, I wish we can keep everybody. We've made a lot of changes this offseason, lost a lot of veteran leadership, Steph being one of them. I guess that's the nature of the business. And going into year seven now, it just kind of is what it is. I don't get paid to make changes on the team. I get paid to be the best quarterback that I can be and try to lead the guys on this team.
Bills quarterback Josh Allen there talking about, obviously, the departure of Stephon Diggs, what he meant to this team, and, of course, well, now what do we do from here? Bills in the NFL draft coming this Thursday. You'll be able to hear round-the-clock coverage starting at 7 o'clock. After Shope and Bulldog, it'll be myself along with Zach Jones and Nate Geary all weekend. You'll hear us on Thursday night, you'll hear us on Friday night, and you will hear us on Saturday throughout the entirety of all of the Bills selections. I'm terrified of the Bills holding on to pick 248. The last pick of their draft.
It took me a second to realize why, and I was that, but no.
The waiting will kill me.
Well,
figuratively.
And as the draft goes on, the picks take longer and longer, even though they should be taking shorter and shorter.
Exactly.
And it just drags on. And whoever's running a broadcast, I'm sure they need sponsors to run over a certain amount of time. I remember 1 year we were out of here by like 3:30 because they went through those rounds so fast.
Yeah.
And the NFL must have been like, no way.
Oh, my God. We didn't make nearly enough money.
Time.
Yeah, we didn't make nearly enough money here.
The sponsors were upset that we didn't go the extra 2 hours.
But no matter how long it takes, we will be here. We'll have, obviously, player interviews from conference calls when players get selected. We will be able to hear from a bevy of guests as we go along because, hey, you know, we're going to be able to get in touch with people on the fly and hear from them as well. So we're going to have ourselves a grand old time, whether we like it or not. So we hope that you join us, though. If you have to have it on in the background, or if you don't want to talk, if you don't want to hear about the 18,000 sob stories in the NFL draft prospects from ESPN or something, don't worry about it. We've got you covered here all weekend long. TJ, I'm using the metaphor again of the whack-a-mole, and you don't know which receiver we're going to pick, but it is tiresome at this point. We're here. But it's also the time of year where you do not get to believe anything that a general manager, coach, or even a source says anymore. We're in smokescreen season.
I would say I make it almost a point to not watch any videos of any NFL GM, try not to read any quotes, because it will only make me loopy to just pour over it and be like, what are we trying to do here? I will say that Brandon Bean more or less is straightforward when it comes to his draft talk, very rarely throws a smokescreen, is usually very upfront about what he's looking for. So I'll give him that. I do think people, I did, and I know I just said this after, I don't look at these quotes, but I, you know, looking at the...
You happen to see them.
I happen to see some Brandon Bean quotes from this week, and the one big one he said about not having the big number one, I think that was, a lot of context was taken out of that. I still think he wants the number one guy. But they're also not going to, I don't know if they're going to move heaven and earth to get the guy that they want, or if they're comfortable to stay where they're at, just because there is this bevy of receivers. This is such a deep draft for receivers.
It is such a deep draft. And something that Greg said, in that last segment, Greg Thompson, when we talked to him, was, you know, one of the best ways to hit a bullseye is to have more darts. And in this draft, with this draft class, yeah, more darts sound like a great idea. However, I'm still...
Historically,
you know... Like,
Brandon Bean's not a dart haver.
No, he's a go-getter. He likes to go get. And obviously, there is a difference between trying to trade up into the top 10 and moving up ever so slightly in the second round, or more aggressively in the second and third rounds. They don't have a third round pick. I think they want to try to do whatever they can to get one. And there's so much speculation still that we have to go through that I never want to feel like I'm repeating myself, but there's so many dang options, I don't think I can repeat myself this year. That's the
For real.
Fun and interesting part of it, yet also the tiring and nauseating part of it is... There is a bevy of options. There are almost too many options. What do you do from here? There's a Bills big board staring me at the face with these Zuba patterns here. And if they take any of these players, I'm like, all right, cool. I don't really have a strong opinion on which ones not to take. I think the only one that I'm really like kind of weary on is like Keon Coleman. But that's pretty much it. That's my conversation.
I try not to get too stuck on guys I don't want them to take or guys I know they don't want them to take, mostly because the last time I was really big on not wanting to take a guy...
They took the guy.
They took the guy, and it's worked out great.
You were also, you like me, were also dead wrong. I know what you're
Correct.
Referring to.
Yes, exactly.
There were plenty of us that were wrong about
exactly.
that.
Exactly. So I don't like to play the game of, well, that's definitely the
I'm
guy
not playing
I don't want
scout.
To take. Correct.
But also, the wide receiver room looks like Khalil Shakir, Mac Hollins, and...
Was I going to say Asante Samuel?
Oh, yeah,
Curtis Samuel. Asante.
Yeah.
Asante Samuel. That's a blast.
That was a guy. There's another one now, though.
This isn't name some guy's show. This is but Sports Talk Saturday.
But this is but there is an Asante Samuel in the league now, too.
There is the junior. That's
yeah.
right.
Oh, yeah, my. That's you see that cane over there?
We're staring at Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same feeling.
Like
same feeling.
And it just happens all the time now, too.
Don't get old, kids.
Yeah.
But again, this is such a fascinating draft, but again, I don't care. If you just take one of these guys, I'm going to be perfectly happy because, again, Curtis Samuel, Khalil Shakir, Mac Hollins, and a bunch of flotsam and jetsam at wide receiver right now. No disrespect to the players lower on the depth chart. I just don't think that we're going to be speculating if Justin Shorter is going to get 60 targets this year.
If he did, that'd be cool.
That'd be cool, but I'm not going to say it because everyone will think that I'm loopier than usual.
I thought you were going to end that much sooner than
Jewel. Oh, you were ready to correct me.
Yeah.
I knew you were.
Yeah. It's okay.
I know what I'm about. But this is the most fascinating draft probably since the Allen draft, because picking a wide receiver is fun. Needing a wide receiver is, it's a lot of fanfare. It's a sexy pick. Quarterback is a sexy pick. You need these sorts of things, and people get excited about them because they help drive points. Points is revenue. Revenue is money. Money is coverage and love of your favorite team. And the Bills need a guy like this. The Bills need one of these fun, fascinating picks. If we were talking about needing a center in round one and that's it, we're not having as much discussions right now.
I would love to have those discussions about needing a center with that pick.
I mean, they still could take a center,
I know,
with that pick.
That's true.
That's the fun part about it. That's the fun part. They can pull the wool over your eyes.
It is funny that this is, what, year seven of the Bean McDermott regime?
Mm-hmm.
Still never picked a receiver this high in the draft. So I'm also grappling with that in my brain of
The historical part.
But also historically, when Brandon Bean has needed a guy from a certain position and it made the most sense to practically everybody looking at it, he picked the guy that made the most sense. Ed Oliver was a guy that I heard about so much before just available at the pick and they picked him.
Yeah, he fell to 9 and you're like, okay.
Yeah.
And the Bills probably ran to the table with that card.
Right.
So finally, this is just, it's wrapping up here this week, and now we get to be reactive a week from today. Now we get to be looking at who are the Bills that are coming in. Who are these new Bills? That's going to be the most fascinating part. From there, all the speculation, the whack-a-mole that we're playing, it will be over a week from today. And I think that part, I'm welcoming that. But at the same time, I'm also not going to go ahead and say that I'm going to miss it either.
There's certain parts about the draft. It gives me, and I'm dealing with this with the Sabres right now, of just like, man, I pumped myself up for the draft for so long,
yep,
for so many years. And don't get me wrong, the draft is important. It's probably the most important part of any NFL team. But I don't envy anybody who covers this all the time and is constantly learning about new players.
The coverage starts in January.
Oh, yeah.
There's still a Super Bowl to play, and the coverage starts in January.
It arguably starts in August.
Yeah, that's
like
a good
as
point.
Soon as the college season starts.
That's a good point. All right, well, speaking of good points, now we're going to switch gears into the next segment and make good points about people that are not making good points in sports. Of course, that is the Booty Cheek of the Week coming up next. And there's a lot of targets, a lot of darts to fire, so to say. We'll keep some metaphors up here. See which ones we hit on the Booty Cheek of the Week coming up next here on Sports Talk Saturday. You're listening to WGR. Oh, yeah, you know what time it is. If you're being talked about on this segment, that means you did something wrong. This is the Booty Cheek of the Week on Sports Talk Saturday here. Derek Kramer, TJ Luckman, Evan DePasquale here with you as we wrap up hour one. And we have to wrap it up by making fun of or pointing out the flaws in which of sports that there were egregious errors made. And we've got a lot to get to here, because we talked a lot about this in the 5 minutes that we were on break.
That's true.
So, first of all, to the owner of the now inactive Arizona Coyotes, Alex Morello. Morello spoke with Gary Bettman yesterday, and he looked like a guy that does not talk to the media, have any media coaching at all. And it made me realize two things. One, you kind of understand why Terry Pegula does not talk to the media. If someone is not media savvy, they're not going to. They know how to avoid it. Morello even said, quote, "I hate the media," unquote. And he didn't mean it like that. He just does not talk to reporters because he very quickly clarified, I own several media stations. It's just, I don't. And Gary Bettman had to save him from talking himself into a bigger hole. When Gary Bettman has to save you, oh boy. Oh wait, Gary Bettman was trying to save you for years, and it still failed. I hope that in the next 5 years, Morello just drops his ambitions of being a hockey team owner, because when it comes to not paying your bills, that is kind of an important thing you should do. Don't go Antonio Brown on us here with not paying bills on time. When it comes to owning a sports franchise, that's something that Antonio Brown did with Albany, with the Arena Football League.
That's right.
So, no, wrong idea. Don't do that. He just looks like he's not meant to do this. And it just, I feel so bad for Arizona Coyotes fans that they've lost their franchise based on ownership ineptitude. Like, we think things are bad here. As Sabres fans, we think that there's this mess with this team. And yet at the same time, you can look out west and go, okay, that is worse. The snarky ones will be like, I'd love an expansion team instead of the bums we have. No, you would lose the team. It's not a guarantee they come back.
Yeah, well.
It's not a guarantee.
Not a guarantee. It's also, I don't want to say it. It's impossible for them to leave, but it's very hard for them to leave with the way they're positioned right now.
I would imagine, though, that
even still, after all the trouble they've had over the last 13 years.
And I hate saying this, but I feel like it's easier for the NHL to forget about Buffalo, New York, than it is for them to forget about Phoenix, Arizona.
I mean, Buffalo is a very much a set it and forget it market for them. They can always, like, no matter how the Sabres are doing, Buffalo always pops up third and fourth in markets that are watching the Stanley Cup playoffs and all that. So Buffalo's important for the TV ratings. That's not anything that I'm really worried about, even through this whole string of 13 years and not having season tickets. That's another booty cheek of the week for another week.
That's for another day.
But, I mean, you say this guy's the booty cheek of the week, but man, the Coyotes are the booty cheek of the last two decades. Just trying to make that work, and all the missteps, all the rakes they stepped on, moving out of this, never securing an arena in the city was their biggest flaw.
Yes.
Getting an arena deal in Glendale, which they never made money on, and somehow still remained in the league. The NHL is trying to just breathe life into them for 15 years tops.
That's
soon as
right.
They move
it goes in the square hole.
Right. Right. It's that. It's,
constantly.
It's that.
What do we do with the cylinder? Oh, that goes in the square hole.
I just, every once in a while, that video just pops up and I have to watch the whole thing. It's so silly.
That's the NHL with Arizona, but they do think that it's a valuable market, and I'm not going to say that it isn't. I just feel bad for the fans.
Me too.
And I don't ever want to hear a snarky remark about, like, you know, oh, I'd rather the Sabres be in that position. No, you don't.
What's funny is, well, what we should say is the arena deal that was presented by Morello, the latest one, is probably the best one that's come out yet. It's just, we had to get here to the, you were at a breaking point, and that's when you had your best idea that's going to cost $3 billion that still you're not going to make money on until that's all. Like, the whole thing was a mess until, frankly, they had to remove the Coyotes from that situation in order for them to work in the future, because there is the whole stipulation that Morello does get the opportunity. He retains all the rights to everything. And then in the next 5 years, he does have 5 years to make that complex happen in the city of Phoenix, which is the most important part for them. It's what they've always needed. But they've tried to go an hour to the west of the city or an hour to the south of the city.
Yep.
Never. And it's a big area, too. That's the thing. It's one of those things where it's like Atlanta. It should work.
It should
by
work.
By all intents and purposes.
It should work, and yet it never did. All right, Evan, you have one here.
Okay, I've been holding this in for about a week because I was hoping to do it last week, but we didn't. But that's okay.
Zach's grounded, by the way, for not doing Booty Cheek of the Week.
You've had like 25 years for this to be a Booty Cheek.
Honestly, yes. My Booty Cheek of the Week is Angel Hernandez, and it stemmed from the Astros Rangers game where he called like the famous one where he called strike 1, 2, and 3 that were like all 6 inches off the plate. I know strike 3 was 6 inches off the plate.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess he's consistent with where he thinks his strike zone is. But honestly, when I look at it, can you imagine what he'd be doing with if this was like, say, the format that they're doing in the minor leagues where you can challenge a ball and a strike? That guy would be out of a job. And he missed 21 balls and strikes or 21 pitches in this most recent game with the Padres and the Brewers out of 200 pitches. 90% sounds good, but it's the overall consistency for any other major league umpire is 94%, which I know you're thinking that's, you know, 3%. But look how much better everybody is, and this guy's had a history of making bad calls and throwing people out of the game for no reason. I hate umpiring. Sometimes I wish they went to robo umps, but then robots would then take over the world.
I love that you're bringing this up, and I love that you also brought up the challenge system in the MILB in the minors. It's probably one of my favorite challenge systems in all of sports, and how just quick it is. And also the challenge system would take a whole complex out of umpires of, because you're not going to get the guys drawing the strike zone in the dirt anymore and getting thrown out for that. Umpires should not be able to throw guys out for doing that. I'm sorry. It's such insecurity about yourself.
They're soft.
And so many umpires do it. Not just Angel Hernandez, but he's like one of the key offenders of it all. And, I could go for a long time on this. I think we have one more Booty Cheek. We're running late here.
We are running a bit late here. And the last one that I have on the docket here is Greg Doyle of the Indy Star. Obviously, that one made the rounds this week because of somewhat creepy, definitely cringy comments toward Caitlin Clark during an introductory press conference for the number one overall pick in the WNBA. And instead of just simply owning up to it, Greg Doyle goes ahead and writes a column for the Indy Star saying, "I'm sorry, I was the problem." If it was an actual apology, I would have actually been able to be okay with this and he wouldn't be being mentioned right now. However, you're a joke of a journalist, and it shames me that someone like that is able to be within the media, and I'm sitting over here with my cup of pudding known as Sports Talk Saturday and the Booty Cheek of the Week.
It's
yeah, there's a little jealousy and resentment involved in that sort of thing, but at the same time, like, be a professional, man.
It's wild that he did it is absolutely wild that he did the old drill of, please don't put in the newspaper that I'm mad, except that he's the one who put in the newspaper that he's mad.
Yeah, he did it. And like, what kind of narcissist does it take to then make yourself the story in something that you did wrong, where all you need to do is apologize to the player? And that's it.
Classic dudes.
Narcissism at its finest right there. Blech. All right. We're late to the break. We had a lot
thanks
of targets.
Thanks to narcissism.
Thanks to narcissists and idiots within the sports realm. Now I'm late to the break for it. All right. Well, we got to get going here because we got to get back into the swing of things. Sabres looking for a head coach. We get some hockey talk here. Rachel Hotmire of Spectrum News is going to join us in the next segment here. Derek Kramer, TJ Luckman, Evan DiPasquale. This is Sports Talk Saturday on WGR AM here in Buffalo. This is WGR 550.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.